I warned Wendy if she told anything bad, I had the last word. So we dedicated Wendy to the Lord when she was born, even before she was born. We had not planned on having children right away. We were married June 26, 1970. And 9 months later, Wendy was born. So it was not our plan. My plan was to go to seminary 3 years. Barb was going to teach in a public school for 3 years. And then we would serve part-time as a youth pastor and then go on in full-time ministry and then start our family. By the time we'd been married 3 years, we had three kids. So that happens when you have twins. We have four children, 12 grandchildren. And to be honest, I couldn't be more proud of what God has done. John the Apostle said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And, you know, I can't help but get a little emotional when I hear the story of what happened. It's a reminder that our missionaries often are serving in difficult places, and things can turn very quickly on them. So we need to be praying for our missionaries, praying for their safety. They will be traveling on the road, and if you're traveling in New York or Michigan, you better pray for safety. So it is that kind of situation. Well, I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about raising kids. So Psalm 78 is a good passage, the first seven verses is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to move rather quickly because I told Pastor I was going to share the time with them, so they've already taken a chunk of the time of the service, which is what I wanted them to do. Psalm 78, begin verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline their ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have shown us, or told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children whom shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Lord, bless your word now as we open it together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This church has been blessed with a lot of kids. Amen. Barb and I enjoyed being in the afternoon with Pastor Caleb and his children, delightful children. God has just blessed you as a church. And you have a responsibility to raise these kids to know the Lord. And this passage of Scripture tells us about how to do that. First of all, there's a call. The Bible once in a while will say, listen, listen, behold, listen to what I'm going to say. This is important. So the call here is, give ear, O my people, to my law. Give ear. Listen. Did you know the statement of Jesus that's repeated the most in the Bible is, he that hath ears, let him hear. It's possible to have ears and not hear. It's possible for us to ignore the law. Here is something he's drawing our attention to that's very important. He says, give ear, listen to what I will open my mouth. I'm going to speak something that's very, very important to you. I want you to know this, which we have heard. So we don't have new things to give. We repeat what we have learned from others, that others have told us. Our experience is not unique totally. We have been given much, and then we are to give it back to our children, to our grandchildren, which we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. So we got it from our parents, and we pass it on to our kids. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works, which we have done. We are to teach. So there's a command that's here. The command is that we are to teach and show. In fact, the phrase is show. We don't just speak it, we have to show. What do we show? Well, first of all, we show his words. We need to share the word of God with our children and our grandchildren. This is God's book. This is God's word. It is authoritative for our life. It gives us guidelines as to how to live. This is something we are to show them. We show His words and we show His wonders. We mentioned this morning or preached this morning on the wonderful Savior that we have, but there's so many wonders. My wife is especially good at pointing out God moments, things that God did this. And for Barb, it's even little things. It's needing something for Awana and going to the Dollar General and finding it on sale. She'll come back and say, look what God gave to me. Look what God showed me today. You know, we need to give God credit for what He's doing. Has He blessed you? Has He watched over you? Has He met your needs? Then give Him the credit for it. Amen. Show Him His wonders, His works, the things that He's done. I've told you before, my dad was private. He was a farmer. He prided himself on being a farmer all his life. When I was 18, he had to sell the farm, but he got a job as a ground maintenance man in a school and worked until he was 78 years old. Then the doctor said, you got to retire, because he was plowing snow and mowing grass and moving furniture for the school system. When he retired, the boss said, I have to replace him with two men, because he was still doing the work of two men. My dad was private. Now, I know my dad was saved, but I don't know how he was saved. And I just think that Dad robbed me of something that I should know. He should have told me. After his death, we went through his papers. My mother was his second wife. And we discovered that his wife had been a Catholic. And for a time, he had been a Catholic. But my mom was a born-again Christian, a Baptist. I asked them how they got together. Well, they met at a dance. Okay? I know that. On Valentine's Day, he proposed. They were married on March the 2nd. I asked my mother, how did that happen so quick? And she said, he said, it's now or never. And I could believe Dad saying that. Somehow, I know he was saved. I heard him. He occasionally was asked to preach in a church. I've seen him at the altar with tears in his eyes. I know he walked with the Lord. When I was a kid, I tried smoking for a little while. My dad was a smoker, and I had a friend. We stole some cigarettes from his mom, and we was experimenting with it. My mother found out about it. Didn't tell Dad, I didn't think. But right after that, Dad quit smoking because it was a bad example to me. Come on. Dad, how'd you get saved? What was it in your life? Was it the loss of your wife, your first wife? Was it somebody they brought? Was it a preacher? Was it my mother? How did you get saved? I don't know. Do your kids know how you were saved?
That's right.
Did they know what led up to that? Did they know the circumstances? Did they know whether it was a track or a TV program, evangelist, or some other? What was it? How were you saved? And then how was your life changed? That's your testimony. Now, I was raised in a Christian home. You've heard my testimony lots of times. When I was 12 years old, I went through a lot of doubt. Shortly after my 13th birthday on a Sunday night, the pastor preached the message, and the invitation was, have thine own way, have thine own way. And I felt as though God had said to me, it's now or never. And I found myself stepping out and walking to the front, and the pastor met me and said, Tom, why did you come? He said, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I really probably wasn't. I don't know. My parents said I memorized John 3:16 when I was about 3 years old, and that's still my favorite verse in the Bible. Bob Brando, one of the deacons, took me downstairs at Bethany Baptist Church, one of those primary rooms, a 10-by-10 room with a little primary desk, little primary chairs. Here I am, a junior higher, you know, that's kind of embarrassing. But he opened the Bible and showed me how to be saved, walked me down the Romans Road, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
Amen.
No doubt from that point on, I may have been saved before, may not, but I know from that date, I'm sin a saved man. Do your kids know? Do your kids know? I was called in the ministry, felt calling in junior high, actually, at camp, but really surrendered the ministry the first year of college. God called me. Do Do your kids know the calling of God in your life? What was the circumstances? How did it happen? For me, I heard a message. Actually, I was involved in politics as just a high schooler. I got involved and I did research at the library. I knew how to use microfiche. Most of you don't even know what that is. But that was the way things were recorded back then before computers. And I was interested in working in politics, so I went down to the Republican headquarters in Flint and said, "Here I am, what can I do?" And they said, "Well, we don't know, what can you do?" And I said, "Well, I can do research." And they said, "Well, all right, here's what we'll have you do. We're going to assign you to a man running for Congress, and if you'll work for him, he can guide you." So his campaign manager said, "Here's what I need you to do. Go down to the Flint Library and get everything you can on our opponent by looking at the microfiche newspapers." So I did that, came back and said, "Did you know your opponent has the highest absentee rate in Congress?" He said, "You know what? That'd be a great theme. We're going to elect a full-time congressman." And the rascal won. Problem is, he changed his politics after he won, and I got very discouraged by that. And then my youth pastor asked me to preach. I rededicated my life when Barb had an epileptic seizure. That's what happened to me. And I thought, boy, God could take everything I have. And I knew I needed to give my life to him. And shortly after that, my youth pastor asked me to preach a message, and I did. And three young people came to Christ that night. You know, I said, the world is never going to be changed by politics, but it is going to be changed by the preaching of the gospel. So I was registered I was finished the first year of college. It was August when that happened. I went to the youth pastor right away and said, "Pastor, God's called me to be a pastor, a preacher." He said, "Good, you need to go to Bible college? Here's where you go. You need to go to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. I'll get on the phone. I'll have you accepted." Never filled out an application. Was accepted 2 weeks later. I was a college student at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. Didn't look back. We need to tell God. We need to tell our children, rather, about his works. Amen. What he did in your life. And then we need to teach him his ways. In verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded them and that they should make them known to their children. How do you make the word of God or the ways of God known to your children? By living it in front of them. Amen. There's no shortcut. It takes more than your lips. It takes your life. That's how you do it. Now, for Wendy and for other kids, we got them involved in the work of God as soon as they were able. They were in church every Sunday. They were active in their youth groups. Wendy, when she was a teenager, became a missionary with Child Evangelism Fellowship, conducting our backyard clubs. And she got good training there. She's a good storyteller, as you can tell. And God began to use her. And then we sent her off to a Bible college. And we wanted her to know the Word of God and to live it. And God worked in her heart, as you heard, called her to be a missionary. She served in Japan, Spain, Peru, and now is going to Chile. I've tried to point out there's still Spanish churches in America that need help. But you know, one of the hardest things we ever did was after she graduated from college, she applied to be a missionary, a short-term missionary with ABWE, teaching some missionary kids in Japan. To walk her to that plane, in those days you could walk to right up to the ramp, and to see my little girl get on that plane to fly clear across the world. I'll never forget that moment. She was all smiles. I wasn't. It was hard. But do you know, you cannot outgive God. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now, I would rather Wendy was living next door. That's not God's will for her life. It's better for me and for her to be in the will of God in Chile than it is to be out of the will of God living next door to us. There is a sacrifice. We're going to celebrate Jessica's birthday in a couple weeks. We don't get to do that very often together. Christmas, there's always an empty four chairs. Most of the time, once in a while they're here. And those times are treasured. But you know, you heard her testimony. If you were her dad, wouldn't you be proud? Yeah, we need to teach our children. What are the consequences? We teach our children so that they can teach their children.
That's right.
That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We want our children and our grandchildren to live for God. We teach our children so they can teach their children. But Dad, our grandpa, grandma, you have a responsibility too. Psalm 71, verse 18 says, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and the power to everyone that is to come." You older folks in the church have a responsibility to set an example. Psalm 37 is one of Wendy's favorite passages of Scripture, mine too. There is a verse there that says, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the man, for the end of that man is peace." Watch as you see older folks handle cancer, handle heart attack, handle stress, handle strokes, and even handle death. That's the example that we want to set for our kids and our grandkids. We want to show God's strength to the generation to come. God bless you in this great work of raising up a new generation to serve him. Father, thank you for our children, our grandchildren. Thank you for the testimony tonight of Wendy and her family. We pray, God, that you continue to bless them. And Father, all these kids that are here, thank you for godly parents. They're seeking to do their best to raise their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And for grandparents and people without children, they have a responsibility in this church to help train these children to love the Lord and to show by their life as well as their lip the strength of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.